Delays are proving a problem at Lufthansa, but not the ones to the scheduled services. The German airline has had to cut its growth plans for the year because it doesn't have enough planes or crew. Deliveries of the Airbus A320neo have been held up because of problems at engine maker Pratt & Whitney. It's only received half of an order for 20 planes. And deliveries of the Bombardier C-Series have also been delayed.
Secret numbers from inside Amazon show that the company's top television shows are drawing tons of people to sign up for its shopping club, Prime. Internal Amazon documents that we've seen, with numbers that have never been reported before, show that more than 5 million people started or extended a Prime subscription to watch 19 Amazon original shows from late 2014 to early 2017. That's as much as a quarter of the Prime signups in this period, based on analyst estimates.
U.S. retail behemoth Walmart is requesting patents to develop new drone technology. But unlike its chief rival Amazon, which says it's testing drones to deliver goods to customers, Walmart wants to use the flying robots at the other end of the supply chain, the farms that grow the food it sells. It's asking to operate unmanned aerial vehicles that don't just spot pests or problems, but can deploy pesticides or pollen. The drones would address problems rather than just spot them.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Friday. It's March 16th, 2018, 5:11 in the morning. And we're glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day, the last one of the week. We've got a good show for you today. Paul Nolte is in the house this morning. We're going to be talking with him about some economic news in our portfolios. And a little bit later, Brian Summers will be here from Skift. We're going to talk more about the O'Hare plan, the expansion plan. American Airlines is finally on board with that after a decision this week. And Brian will be with us in our second segment this morning. But on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk first, the Dow futures are off about 11 points this morning. NASDAQ and S&P futures are flat. Not much movement in any of the indices overnight as we await some more economic data today and some other information that'll be coming out a little later on in the morning. We'll talk with Paul about that. In Europe this morning, markets are generally higher with the FTSE up just a fraction in London and the DAX is up about a third. In Germany. And in Asia this morning, markets are all lower. Lots of red on the screen. The Nikkei off by about 0.5%. The Shanghai off by more than 0.5%. And other markets there pushing up as well. Some as much as 1% as we look at across the Asian markets landscape there. Oil this morning is at $61.36 a barrel, which is up about 17 cents. A couple of stories that we're watching for you this morning. The Department of Education has started notifying some former Corinthian college students that it's going to forgive only one half or less of their federal student loans, even though the students were defrauded by the now-defunct school. The action is part of the Education Department's push to ease regulations governing for-profit schools. The Education Department says it wants to protect taxpayer money, but critics say the Trump administration has deep ties to for-profit colleges and is putting industry interests ahead of students. We watch this case because it could be the first of several involving some of these for-profit schools and student loans across the country. Ford, with a sagging U.S. market share and one of the oldest vehicle lineups in the industry, is promising to revamp three-quarters of its models in the next 2 years. Much of the emphasis will be on refreshing or revamping the entire lineup of SUVs while adding gas electric hybrid powertrains, two new off-road SUVs, and two new trucks. It is Friday, and that means Paul Nolte is here from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. He's an SVP and Senior Portfolio Manager there. And Paul, good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Happy day before St. Patrick's Day.
Right. Everybody getting their blood systems ready for alcohol, I would imagine, right?
And the river green. Yes, and the river absolutely. Green.
So what's on the what would be front and center for you from the week?
You know, it's interesting taking a look at the events of the week. It was a lot more political this week than it was economic. So a lot of the rumblings and the changing around of the various people within the Trump cabinet, I think, has the markets kind of roiled to here a little bit following on to the tariff signings of last week. And the indication is from what's going on in the Trump administration is much more of a protectionist type of bend, if you will, to a lot of the people that he's bringing on to his council. So the markets are not reading that very well at this point because, again, it's going to boost up import prices. It means higher costs for U.S. goods. We're starting to see some of it show up in the pipeline and some of the numbers that we've got over the last week or so. So, again, not good from the longer-term perspective. Again, short-term, the markets are moving on that news.
And this really impacted a local stock this week, a Boeing company. One day this week contributed for almost half of the Dow's, I think it was Wednesday, 258-point loss.
And the other way, when the market rallied, Boeing rallied yesterday, day before yesterday, and accounted for half. So we've seen Boeing was last year the best Dow performer by far and away. And coming into January, had tacked on another 20 or 30% just in the month of January. So it's still very high relative to where it's been over the last year or so. And we're seeing this really just as a little bit of a correction, but it's certainly indicative of a lot of the companies like Caterpillar, Deere, some of the auto companies, rail companies that have taken it on the chin here. And you can see it in the difference between the Dow Jones, the S&P 500, and the NASDAQ on a daily basis. We had the Dow down one day over 100 points, and we had the NASDAQ up 20 points. And the Dow is much more of an industrial, part of the reason why it's called the Dow Jones Industrial Index, but a much more industrial-focused, certainly, than the technology-centered NASDAQ. And different days, you're going to see that type of very divergent performance. And normally, you don't see that in the markets.
What could hit the markets today that I know you said watch at 8:30 when the opening bell rings. What will we be looking there for?
Well, today's options and futures expiration. So it's kind of a inside baseball type of thing for the markets where we have futures on stocks and on the indices all expiring in the futures markets. Those contracts expiring, and then we roll to the June contract here. So you're going to see a ton of activity at the open. And from strictly a technical perspective, again, a little inside baseball, the S&P 500 is at 2750, and it's been bouncing around that number now for the last couple weeks, and that is kind of the line in the sand for a lot of traders. So you see it when it gets above 2750, the market kind of takes off a little bit. When it gets below 2750, it sells off a little bit, and then ultimately winds up back at 2750. So It's an important technical level, and that's really more for the traders than it is for the investors, but it's something that we keep a little bit of an eye on.
Paul, hang on. We'll continue with Paul Nolte here coming up as the opening bell continues for this Friday morning.
From ABC News Wall Street Now, uncertainty will be a factor ahead of the opening bell. Stock futures pointing down. That despite the Dow adding 115 points Thursday, with United Health leading the gains. Concerns of possible trade wars linger, with reports the White House could impose tariffs on Chinese imports. Major airlines are hiring pilots at a pace aviation experts say has not been seen since before 9/11. It comes as regional carriers are dealing with a shortage of pilots. Aircraft maker Boeing estimates airlines will need 117,000 new pilots by the year 2036. This shift comes as a decade after thousands of pilots were furloughed and some left the profession. Mortgage rates fell for the first time this year after 9 straight weeks of increases. Mortgage buyer Freddie Mac said the average rate on a 30-year fixed-rate loan slipped to 4.4%. That was down from 4.46% last week. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. It's 523. We're here with Paul Nolte this morning of Kingsview Asset Management. Paul, you were talking earlier about economic news, the investors not looking too well at some of it. There's really not much on the calendar today that could impact the markets, is there?
No, there's not. But one of the things that we've looked at, and this moves around in cycles, and it's kind of interesting to watch. It's really more psychological than anything else. There's something called the Economic Surprise Index. So whenever you're reporting the economic data, it comes out in the morning. The unemployment report last week, that was a surprise, and it was a surprise to the upside. It's a good surprise. And so they tally up all the surprises, positive and negative, and they kind of chart that. And so the economic surprise index has been rising of late as economists underestimate the data points that are coming out. And then, again, from a psychological perspective, they said, well, shoot, then maybe we should up our estimates. And so they up their estimates, and in surprise, they overestimate what's happening in the economy. And that's what we're that's kind of where we're at right now. So right now we're seeing a lot of estimates below coming in below or the actual data coming in below the estimates. And it all that does is, again, from a psychological perspective, go, gosh, the economic data is bad because it didn't meet estimates. But they've been kind of jacked up here. But really, when you look at the data, we're still looking at 2% GDP growth.
Wouldn't it be easier to have one of those little magic eight balls? Remember those little toys?
I have one on my desk. That and a Ouija board and a dartboard. And those are the three keys to the investment success.
We haven't mentioned it recently. I mean, I think the Fed's is probably on for three interest rate hikes this year, but we haven't talked about the balance sheet at all.
No, and they have been unwinding their balance sheet. So they are reducing the size of their balance sheet, which means that they're taking maturities, they're not reinvesting them, or they're actively selling in the marketplace. And what's happened since that got announced and actually became effective in November of last year is, surprise, we're starting to see higher interest rates because one of the buyers has stepped away from the market. So demand has shrunk. We have a lot of supply. We're issuing a lot of debt to pay for all the stuff that we've been talking about and the Trump administration is wanting to do. So we don't have that demand anymore, and without that demand, we have to increase interest rates in order to attract enough buyers into the marketplace. So it's kind of a dynamic that we've been watching, and we've been talking about quantitative easing for the, you know, really since the beginning of the financial crisis as being a financial event. It's helped out the financial markets. It hasn't necessarily translated to helping the economy. So the unwind, or what I'm calling quantitative tightening, everybody else is calling rationalization of interest rates, will probably have an impact on the financial markets. And we're starting to see some of those effects just here in the last couple months or so.
I see what you earn your salary too as professor. I can see the very we should also tell people that when we were having our discussion earlier, we were referring to quadruple witching.
Yes.
If you hear that term today,
it is
thrown in there as well.
Yeah, and that's in the third Friday of the quarter end. So March, June, September, and that's we'll see a ton of volume at the open and then also toward the close today.
Should we be doing anything different with our portfolios?
Not really. I mean, when we take a look at the markets, we're still getting in that we're still seeing a ton of volatility. We're probably going to see it for the next 4 to 6 weeks. And again, as we've talked about, you know, have your shopping list. We saw it with Boeing. You know, Boeing's been moving all over the place. Still a very good company. Pick your price points and make your purchases there. We still do like the international markets, and depending on the day, international is dragging down the portfolio or really helping it out. But I think over the long term, international is still a good place to be. And as far as the bond portfolio, we're still investing in bonds. We still like bonds, but we wouldn't necessarily be too aggressive in buying very, very long-term bonds. We'd keep those purchases probably five to seven years in maturity and give us the opportunity then as they mature and roll over to increase those yields and as interest rates rise.
All right, good information, Paul. Don't do too much basketball or St. Patrick's Day this weekend.
I will be on my own darn couch watching a lot of hoops today.
All right. We'll see you again next Friday, Paul. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Paul Nolte from Kingsview Asset Management in Chicago. You can find more about Paul at kingsview.com and his colleagues as well. Again, kingsview.com.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know, delivered by chicagoinno.com. As e-commerce continues to disrupt a huge segment of brick-and-mortar retail, Chicago startup Foxtrot is proving there's still value in the neighborhood corner store. The startup, which operates 4 corner store locations in Chicago, as well as an online delivery service for everyday essentials, just raised $6 million to open more corner stores in Chicago and around the U.S. Chicago startup Hazel Technologies created a packaging insert that helps produce stay fresh longer, and it just raised $3 million to grow its business. Hazel says its packets release an antifungal vapor that extends the life of produce by as much as 3 times the normal shelf life. And Chicago-based meal delivery app Eat Purely has moved into a new office in the West Loop as gears up for a Midwest expansion. The startup's new space will allow it to produce more than 10,000 meals a day. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being here with us on our Friday edition of The Opening Bell. American Airlines has signed on to the $8.5 billion expansion of O'Hare Airport after some late-night wrangling this week involving Mayor Emanuel. Brian Summers is airline business reporter for Skift.com, at Skift on Twitter, and at Brian Summers on Twitter. For Brian, he is with us this morning via Skype. Brian, let's talk a little bit about this. What do you know about what has transpired since we talked last about American and their concern over the O'Hare expansion?
Yeah, we got some good news this week. The mayor and everyone said that American and United have agreed to this $8.5 billion modernization plan of O'Hare. We've known for a long time that this is something that the city needs. We also know that, you know, American whined and complained about this several weeks ago. They said they weren't going to sign the lease because they weren't getting as many gates at United. They were very angry. They sort of said on the side, it might be possible for us to leave Chicago. I don't think, Steve, anybody thought that that was at all possible. American has a huge hub in Chicago. Yes, it's slightly smaller than United's, but there was just almost no chance that American was going to close that hub and let United and maybe Southwest at Midway gain that market share. This deal was always going to get done. The only question was how. My understanding was American didn't really get everything that it wanted, but it got enough. It got access to some new gates, and it said, you know what, we have to sign this deal. The airport's going to get a lot better, and I think it's going to be better for every airline in Chicago, and it's certainly going to be better for customers in Chicago.
Yeah, and don't you think that's sort of one of the bottom lines here, is that the experience of coming to O'Hare is going to be better, not just for United, but for American passengers as well?
Yeah, the experience is going to be better for everyone in Chicago. I won't say pretty soon because these airport projects take a while. But as we've talked about before, Chicago just hasn't invested in its airport the same way as other airports, both abroad and even airports in like Los Angeles. Billions of dollars need to be spent to make the process, especially of making connecting flights more efficient in Chicago.
It's interesting. We had the mayor on the radio here talking about this, and he said he wanted to make Chicago's airport competitive with London, New York, and there was one other in there. He did not mention Atlanta. Do you think that was purposeful on his part?
You know, I don't know if it was purposeful on his part. Atlanta does operate a little bit differently than a lot of airports around the world. It is just dominated by one airline, Delta Airlines. Delta sort of calls the shots there. It has a thousand flights a day. It just is a little bit different. It's not a global hub in the same way that Chicago and London are, that have many different airlines coming into it. It's hard to say what the mayor meant, but Atlanta is its own special case because it's dominated so much by Delta.
Let's talk about another airline that we fly regularly out of Chicago. That's Southwest Airlines out of Midway. Talk to us about the reporting you're doing on these new Hawaiian routes and how it might impact credit card signups.
Yeah, you know, people have flown Southwest for decades. They love it. They have those cheap fares. They have the free snacks. Everybody likes it. But the bottom line is, until about 5 years ago, most of the routes that Southwest flew were boring. So you could fly them from Chicago to Omaha. In later years, you could even fly them from Chicago to the New York area. But they couldn't take you to the Caribbean, they couldn't take you to Mexico, and they couldn't take you to Hawaii. And in some ways, that's not a huge deal. Southwest made plenty of money doing what it did. But there's a new-ish game in airlines right now, and every airline wants you to sign up for their co-branded credit card. And that's because these credit cards are extremely profitable for the airlines. When you get miles from your credit card, the credit card company pays the airline for those miles. And Southwest wanted to up its game with credit cards. They want more people in Chicago and elsewhere to carry the Southwest credit card. And it's weird, but sometimes the way you do that is by saying you can redeem your miles not to go to Omaha for Thanksgiving, but to go to Hawaii, to go to Cancun, to go to the Caribbean. And, you know, a lot of people may never go to Hawaii, but there's something about applying for that credit card and knowing that the credit card company is going to give you enough points to get to Hawaii. So even if you never go, it just feels good. And Southwest told me that they expect these new Hawaii flights, which will probably start next year or maybe very late this year, will ignite credit card applications. So we'll see what happens.
I was surprised they told you actually that the credit card is core to their airline business.
Yeah, the credit card is absolutely core to the airline business. These credit card companies, as we said, JPMorgan Chase is Southwest's partner. I mean, they're paying these airlines billions of dollars a year for the right to give away those miles and points to customers. So we talk about free tickets, and to customers, a lot of these tickets with points and miles are free. But in a lot of cases, the banks are paying for those, quote, free tickets.
Brian, I know this isn't your story, but it's been making the rounds out there that some of the airlines may be considering preferential pricing, something called preferential pricing. So, for instance, I might have a different fare than somebody else sitting next to me based on some sort of data.
You're right. This is a story that's gone viral a little bit in the past week, but it's not necessarily new. Airlines are looking at all types of new technologies, and one of those things might allow them at some point in the future to charge customers a different amount of money for the ticket based on what the airline knows about that customer. I know people think right now that airlines are changing the price of tickets depending on, you know, the customer's search history or something like that. My understanding is the price is pretty much the price right now, whether you're on one computer or the other, and it doesn't really matter. But yeah, you know, in the future, an airline could say, we know a lot about this passenger. It's a passenger that spends a lot of money on us. They fly from Chicago to New York every Monday. They return every Thursday. They always buy the most expensive ticket. So we know that they're good for it, and we're going to charge that customer more money than somebody else just because of what we know about that customer.
I know a familiar face in Congress that's always talking about laws about the airline industry. U.S. Senator Chuck Schumer of New York is already preemptively asking the federal government to protect passengers from this technology.
Yeah, you know, I talked about before what was possible. I talk to airline people and they say, yeah, you know, we could charge a business traveler more money based on what we know about that traveler, but it's probably not going to be that serious. Airlines, believe it or not, don't want to take advantage of their customers. If you thought an airline was going to charge you more money based on what the airline knew about you, you just wouldn't give it the information. You'd do everything you could to not give the airline that data. So this may evolve in a different way than Senator Schumer thinks, in that, you know, if the airline knows that you're a really good customer and you go to New York every Monday morning, the airline may try really hard to sell you that very expensive ticket. It might even be the first thing that you see, but you'll probably be able to scroll down and see the cheaper ticket. The airline's just going to say, you know what, you always fly first class. We know this. We think you're going to fly first class this time. But if you don't want to, here's a cheaper fare.
One of the other cool stories you were writing on is about Lufthansa and their innovation hub. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Lufthansa is like many legacy airlines in the world. They've been around for something like 100 years, and things move very slowly. These airlines are huge bureaucracies. They've always done things a certain way. and they're hesitant to change. We've joked about seeing this at United at times in the past. And what Lufthansa has done is their big headquarters is in Frankfurt, just like any other big airline headquarters. And they have built an innovation hub with just, you know, relatively few employees in Berlin, and they look at things differently. So their mantra, you know, like the Silicon Valley mantra, is fail fast. We're going to try something. If it works, we do it. If it doesn't work, we don't. And for Lufthansa, it was a big deal to put this innovation hub in Berlin and not in Frankfurt, because, you know, there is apparently a can-do mantra at the Berlin office that just doesn't exist in Frankfurt, where people will come up with a new idea and everybody says, no, you know, that's very difficult. We tried that in the past. We can't do it. So that's why Lufthansa does what it does.
Is there anything that they've been doing there? Have they had any big innovations that we might know of?
Yeah, you know, not any huge innovations. They've played around with how you can buy tickets. They've tested something where you can buy 10 tickets at a time and then use them as you want. And they're studying to see, okay, well, if we sell people what is essentially a punch card for 10 tickets on Eurowings, which is Lufthansa Group's low-fare airline, how will they use those 10 tickets? Will we make money doing it that way? Will we not make money doing it that way? But the idea here is that you could test something on a much smaller scale.
Very cool. Brian, always good chatting with you. We'll see you again next week.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, Brian Summers is an airline business reporter for Skift.com. Make sure you follow Skift on Twitter, at Skift, and sign up for the weekly Skift Airline Innovation Report at skift.com/airline. And make sure you follow Brian Summers as well on Twitter, at Brian Summers.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk, Dow futures are off about 18 points this morning. NASDAQ and S&P futures are flat. It's time for agriculture and commodities. Good morning, happy Friday to Orion Samuelson.
And a happy Friday to you, my friend, as we are winding down another week of trade. And yesterday we saw the wheat market turn sharply lower. Technical sell-off at the Board of Trade in Chicago as wheat fell nearly 2%. Disappointing weekly U.S. exports, say it was sales of wheat, added to the headwinds with May wheat dropping 10 cents to 478 and three quarters a bushel. And wheat traders have been balancing the dry growing conditions in the southern plains against record large global wheat supplies still plaguing the wheat market. Livestock yesterday, Steve, saw live cattle futures closing down $1.15 as supply buildup now concerning traders, particularly in the cattle market. And here in Arizona, we visited a rancher a couple of days ago, and the calving season is underway, just really getting started. But that means this one rancher in particular is looking forward to about 450 calves coming on board during the calving season this spring. So getting to be a busier time in livestock and, of course, planting. We're ready to go, and now we'll need the weather.
Orion, what would you say would be the two, one of the two biggest or the top biggest of the two, immigration or trade concerning farmers this week?
I think, boy, that's a tough one because they're about equal in concern to farmers, particularly now with the harvest of produce and everything continuing in Arizona and California. They have to make sure they have the labor to go into the fields and harvest so the crops don't spoil. But the two are intertwined, really, when you take a look at labor and when you take a look at the immigration rules and laws. We've got to come up with a simpler way to allow workers to come across the border and do the harvest work that is so vital to our economy agriculturally in the Southwest. So I'd say tough to pick, but they're about equal in concern, I think, for producers today.
At the beginning of the program this morning, we had a clip of Amazon yesterday announcing that they had filed a patent for new drone technology. I don't know if you heard that or not. Farmers, though, have been using drones for quite a while now, haven't they?
they have become a major tool for farmers, and the ranch that we visited earlier this week using drones to round up stray cattle because the drones can find them faster than cowboys riding on horses. But yeah, they've become a major tool because of the sensors they're able to build into the cameras that indicate you've got a drought problem, you've got a weed problem, you've got an insect problem. But yeah, I was curious about the patents filed because it sounds like they're getting more into food production than a lot of the individual farmers themselves, and they'll be using the drones to do it. I don't know how far they're going to go with that, but it was interesting because I think they filed 6 patents that were revealed this week for the first time on using drones in various ways to get into the food production business. So that could be the next step for them.
Yeah, very exciting. So what is on the show tomorrow?
On the show tomorrow, as usual, we'll talk markets, and we're going to talk about the opportunity for young people to get into what is commonly called STEM research. That's science and technology and math, because we are running a shortage of personnel and trained people in what is commonly called STEM, scientific research, math, and so we're going to talk about a funding program set up to establish more of these educational opportunities for young people. Coming closer now to college for kids for the first time, I keep saying there's a lot of scholarship money out there, but it won't come looking for you. You've got to go looking for it. And so we'll be sharing ideas on where to go and how to find the resources available for scholarship money, and we'll be doing that tomorrow.
All right, we'll be listening. Orion, have a great weekend.
You too.
All right, Orion Samuelson with us this morning, the morning show with Orion and Max Armstrong, 5 to 6 tomorrow morning right here on 720 WGN. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Friday, March the 16th, we'll get a look at housing starts from the government today, also consumer sentiment, and the job opening and labor turnover survey is out as well. Another snapshot about jobs and job openings, and a report on industrial production coming this Friday as well, as we watch the markets on this quadruple witching Friday on Wall Street.